Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be in your house together as believers in Christ. Father, when I look at Acts 4 and we see that the early church, our brothers and sisters, they felt that they had all things in common. And they were giving to meet needs in the body without reservation, without holding anything back. They did not consider anything theirs, but they gave it freely to be distributed as was necessary. And it says it was with great power that they did this. It was the grace, it was the power of your grace that resulted in this giving. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would pour out grace upon this church and that our giving would meet the needs of ministry. There would be no unmet needs in our ministries, no unmet needs with the new building, no unmet needs in our mission projects. Lord, I pray that there would be no unmet needs in the body of Christ, that we would have a growing sensitivity to the needs of one another, that you would help us to build such deep relationships with each other that this would be a safe place to be honest, so that we have no barriers for people who need to ask for help, that they would be bold and know that we will love each other enough to come alongside and offer help in whatever way we can. And Lord, it is an act of love. Your love resulted in action, and so our love must result in action. And so I pray that you would keep teaching and training us to love each other by meeting each other's needs according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus. May we hold nothing back. And Father, I pray that because of this, the unbelievers in our area would see it and want that, that they would want to come and join us and experience the love of a Heavenly Father and the love of the body of Christ. Lord, help us to rightly represent that in this world that needs it desperately. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
So today we're looking at God's lens of His love, the lens of God's love. What kind of lens are you looking through? You know, we're all challenged with our view of things. And you know, more than likely, you've come to these conclusions because of circumstances or problems or maybe good things as well. Whatever you've faced in life has got you looking at things a certain way. We're talking about 2020 vision, the lens of God's love. So if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 13, and we'll read two verses, 34 and 35. John 13, 34 and 35. As you stand with me, let me say the youth did an outstanding job last night. I tell you, you were on the stick last night. I mean, y'all were the stuff. You really did good, and it was a good meal. And I hope y'all had a great time last night. I told Frank and Summer they belong together. Man, they were. I won't even tell you about what they were doing. But anyway, it's good to see love is in the house. Amen, Will. Love is in the house. Amen, amen, brother. Amen. Him and Abigail. I went over a while ago. I said, boy, did you pray about this? He said, yes, sir. I appreciate that. And we're going to be praying for them. God bless them. All right. We're talking about God's love today. John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Now, here's a very important verse for us to learn today. Simple, but a lot of deep stuff here. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is absolute truth. There is no error. And I pray today your Holy Spirit would teach us that we might know the lens that we are looking through. I pray that we will see today the lens of God's love. I pray for your fresh oil. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You probably heard about the story of the woman who was walking along the beach, and of course she found the bottle and she picked it up and she wiped the sand off of it, and poof, a genie appeared. And he said, I will grant you one wish. She said, what? I thought genies granted three wishes. And the genie said, well, times are hard and we had to cut back. Just you get one wish, that's it. She pulled out a map of the Middle East and said, I want these countries to stop fighting. I want people to get along. In fact, I want peace and harmony in all the world. The genie looked at the map and said, lady, be reasonable. These countries have been fighting for 400 years, and every peace treaty that they sign has been broken. This simply cannot be done. Wish for something else. And the woman thought for a minute. She said, well, I've never found the right man. You know, a man who's considerate and fun. He likes to cook and help with the house cleaning. A man who would get along with all of my family and not sit around and watch sports all day. A man who will just smother me with love all the time and affection for all my life. That's what I wish for, a good man. The genie let out a sigh and said, okay, you win. Let me see what that map says again. You know, it's how you look at things, isn't it? How you see it. And no, there are no perfect man out there. By the way, if you're looking for the perfect man, there's only one. His name was Jesus. Amen. And you know, I've got a different perspective as of last Sunday. I don't know about you, but last Sunday was eye-opening for me with the testimonies. I appreciate every person who gave a testimony in a different way now. Eric, you know, we'll judge a person by the way we view them and how, okay, so Eric has long hair. And he said, well, you think that I'm in drugs and alcohol. He says, I've never touched any drugs and never had any alcohol, but I do have long hair. So don't judge a book by its cover, you know. I'll tell you, my heart literally broke as Tina was giving her testimony. And I thought, may all the men at Gourd Springs show this lady what the love of God looks like, because she has experienced a different kind of love. But may we show people the love of God. Ron Messier, I'll tell you, Ron's been hurting. I know he is, and I know now it's really sinking in. But that song we sung today was a verse I gave him. Hold your head up. Because he is your shield. He'll hold you through this time. And then someone else gave a testimony. Who was it? Mike Kelsey. Yeah. Wow, I didn't know all that about him and being homeless and all that. I'll tell you, when you start looking through the lenses that people are able to share with you, you look at them a whole different way. Well, certainly, I think we all, and I'm pointing fingers back to me, we need to learn, because we've not mastered this, how God sees us. And there's some things I would love for you to really get today as we talk about looking through the right kind of lens. The lens we look through will determine how we perceive all that we see. If the prescription isn't correct, nothing will be clear in our focus. Evangelical Christianity needs to take a trip to the divine optometrist to make sure they're looking through the lens of Scripture rather than the lens of the world. Because I'm afraid where we are today, and we're in a different kind of day, we are more worldly than ever before. The world has influenced us Christians. There is another lens, however, that is even more important, and it's our worldview. Each of us have accepted one. A clash of worldviews is not a new phenomenon. There have always been a contradiction between a worldview established on biblical truth and the worldview espoused by the secular world. Adam and Eve were created wearing the lens of God's clear truth. Their view of the world around them was clearly God-centered, as they were created for His pleasure and for His purpose. The serpent, he slid right in a real slick kind of way, and he removed those lenses that God had given to Adam and Eve. And he convinced them to replace it with a worldview of, instead of a God-centered world, a self-centered world, which obviously led to self-destruction. And that's where we are today. But that's the old news. What about where we are today? What's new today? And what's happening in evangelical Christianity? The slippery serpent again is at work. He's changing the lenses of millions of Christians. A biblical worldview that has characterized evangelicals now is being substituted by a distinctly secular worldview. As a result, there is a major shift in how evangelical Christians perceive social and moral issues, current events, church growth, and of course, politics. A biblical worldview begins with creation as wonderfully revealed in the first two chapters of Genesis. It's not surprising then that many evangelicals are now questioning the literalness of these events and have embraced with some form of or some type of evolution. The next foundation of a biblical worldview is the fall of man in Scripture and the subsequent desperate need for redemption. One who has scriptural truth written on their worldview lenses understands that we live in a fallen world, a beautiful creation that now has fallen, and nonsense bears the unmistakable marks of the curse, and man is sinful, and Scripture teaches and man will do evil things unless he's restrained by law or redeemed by the blood of Jesus. The lens of Scripture reveals that the most desperate need of man is not a better environment or a little bit of encouragement or a new government program. A biblical worldview reveals the poverty of sin's effect. The poverty of sin is not just an effect, but a cause. Sin is the source of all man's problems, and the only true answer is Jesus Christ. And so how are we going to see things? And as we are being, realize it or not, we're changing and we're not even seeing it. It's easy. It's sort of like some of our men have been teasing me. Was it this week we went to the eye doctor? It's last week. I don't even remember. We went to the eye doctor and they told me I had 20/20 vision. And one of our men said, yeah, preacher, you must have said something about you was preaching on 20/20 because you don't have 20/20 vision. Here's the thing about it is 20/20 vision means what you can see 20 feet in front of you, okay, from 20 feet from where you are. And I could see every letter that they had on that wall, but I can't hardly see these letters here. You know, the thing about it is, it's how you see things, how you interpret things. And I dare say that there are a lot of people here today suffering from a low self-esteem, and they're hurting like all those people that guy saw through his glasses. And we don't even realize how many people here today are suffering because we only see through our eyes. And many times we as Christians, they're condemning our eyes. Are y'all listening to me? We see from our point of view and we think, well, they're not what they ought to be, but we don't know their circumstances, do we? We don't know what they're going through. Well, what does the Bible say? How can we get God's lens of love? How, if we could put some new glasses on and see as God says, what would God say to us? What does His Word say about love? And you might think it's unusual I picked this scripture, but you'll understand it in a minute. Number one, to get a 20/20 vision of God's love, you've got to understand, first of all, He's given us a command to love. Verse 34, a new commandment, He says, I give unto you, that you do what? That you love one another. God wants to do a new thing right here in our church today. I love this verse. This is a big verse written in the hallway in our home, and it's a verse that Sherry and I, we believe God for this verse for our life. Isaiah 43:19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And she and I have talked about this year that we're not going to endure life, we're going to enjoy life. Well, if you're going to enjoy life, that means you've got to start seeing things in a different kind of way. Well, number one, you've got to see who is the Lord of love. Folks, let me tell you something. There would be no love if it weren't for God Himself. God is love. And so you're not capable of love. You're not. It's not your nature, but it is God's nature. So He is the Lord, capital. That means he is Jehovah God. He is the Lord. A new commandment, he says, I give to you. Jesus is Lord of all, and he has the right to issue commands. The command is not based upon feelings or emotions, but on obedience. A lot of times, young people especially don't know what love is. It's infatuation. It's their, they don't really know, because you see, real love is sacrificial. Real love is not about you, it's about others. And we'll talk about that lens in a minute. But what about God's love? How does he see love? Well, first of all, he says, I am love. I am the Lord of love. And here is the greatest of all commandments. And let me give you the second one, the law of love. Verse 34 says that you love one another. Matthew 22, 37 through 40 says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second's like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments, he says, hang all the law and all the prophets. Jesus is laying the law down at the very beginning of discipling his disciples, of establishing his church. And by the way, it's not his church. If this law is not practiced, it's not God's church. If we're not loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and if we're not loving our neighbors, we love ourselves. You know what? The best definition I know of a church is a church that loves God and loves one another. That's the law of love. Jesus said it. This new commandment I give to you. I will give you the law of love. I'll write it in your heart. And by the way, this is very important because, you see, that gives us God's lens of love. John 4:8 says, whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. So he's saying, you don't know me unless you know love, because God says, I am love. Whoever does not know love does not know God, for God is love. So you can't know love apart from God. A lot of people think they know what love is. And we get this word all mixed up with a lot of other things. And that's why the Greeks, they had about four different words for love. Storge, philepho, agape was the love of God. And so then there's the life of love. The life of love. You see that in verse 34, as I have loved you, he loved us so much he gave his only begotten son. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. Jesus laid down his life in love. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. We like to sing here sometimes, I am a friend of God. But are we really? Are we really friends? Jesus said, we are his friends if you do whatsoever I command you. He has commanded us to love one another. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought so to lay down our lives for one another, for our brethren. And so we are to live a life of love. And folks, I'm not just talking this because I'm going to try to help you today understand that you and I literally can wear a kingdom lens, if you will, to understand that God loves you and you're to put that love into practice. There's an old song that says, a song is not a song until you sing it. A bell is not a bell until you ring it. And love is not love until you give it away. Here is the call to love. This is a call. I've been talking with Matt here lately a lot about a call. And you know, we all are called. We are all a call of God. You've been called from darkness to light. You've been called from death to life. And you need to hear this call. Look at this next slide. Those who see the world through the lens of love are the true visionaries. I thought that was a great quote. Those who see the world through the lens of love are the true visionaries. You see, your life, you may have been filled with a lot of things in your past, a lot of discouragement, a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, and therefore, you may not be looking, even thinking about seeing through a lens of love. But Only as you see things through the love of God and see the see things through this lens of love are you a true visionary. Jesus' 2020 vision is love. Verse 35, by this, that is the call to love, shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. You see, that's the key right there, isn't it? We've got to have love one to another. And that's what God has called us to do. He's called us to love one another. Because of the cross, Jesus has put his call upon our lives. And his love is in our hearts. Because if Jesus is in your heart, then you've got love. Can I get an amen? Because he is love. You see, our love for one another is only possible because of what Jesus did on that cross. Had he not paid for our sins and given us a new righteous nature, we would not be able to know this love. But you can know this love, and you can see others through the lens of this love this way. Now, I want to remind you of this call to love. Number one, you've been brought from darkness to light. He says, by this what? By the light of my love in you. You're no longer walking in darkness. So don't walk in darkness. Don't act like you're in the dark. You know, a lot of times we focus more on our past, which is darkness, when we were in sin, than the light that we've been brought to. What if you can see things, you can see things a lot better if you have a lot of light, right? Sherry, I was just thinking, trying to say, she loves light. She likes being in a lot of light. We was out Friday night with my mom. She's 93, and my first cousin, she's 77. And I was telling Sherry that my cousin loves light. She's got this great old big room that they extended on her house. It's nothing but glass and windows. And she says, that's my happy place. And she's in church down in Laurinburg. And she was asking me, and I don't know why I'm telling you this, I guess, because I can. She was asking me, she said, does your church have security? And do you feel safe in your church? I said, well, ma'am, I've got the U.S. Army in my church. She said, well, I think you ought to be pretty safe. I forgot. You're near Fort Bragg. I said, that's right. You ought to know that. I said, I feel pretty secure. In fact, I really feel sorry for the guy that would ever try to bother our church. Because I could ask people how many have their Bibles today, and they would lift them up. Then I would ask how many people have their guns on them today, and it'd be about the same number. But anyway, darkness to light. We have seen the light, amen? And by the way, there's another view that we've had to have because of circumstances in our day. We've got to be prepared, and I want to assure you we're prepared. We're in the light here at Gorge Springs. Just ask Johnny Miles. All right, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, the work of the cross in you is what produces the love of God through you. You see, he's done a work in you because we're in Christ. We have seen the light, and we're to walk in the light of God's love. And I'll tell you, you know, a good clear lens, not a cloudy lens, but a good clear lens with plenty of light, you can see really good. We need to get a clear view of the love of God. He's called us to light, not to darkness. And then he's called us from death to life. He says, you are my disciples. I'm not dead. I'm not a dead Jesus, and you're not a dead disciple. Amen? You are alive, and because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his love is in us. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We are the called of God. We are called to love our brother and sister in Christ. And so when we're loving our brother and sister in Christ, we're walking in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, you want to know why a lot of churches are dead churches? Because they're not walking in the life of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you love one another, you're willing to lay down your life for one another. You're thinking more about others than you are yourself. And then I've got to mention this one, the destruction to love. You got to deal with this. This is a call that you've got to understand that's important. Psalm 103:4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with what? Loving kindness and tender mercies. You see, we've been called to love. Now, we've got these destructive forces coming against us, but we're not ever to give in to destruction. Satan is a destroyer. I said Satan is a destroyer. I don't know if you recognize this, but gossip is destructive, and it is not love. In fact, the Bible would call it hate. I don't know if you've ever been around a hypochondriac, someone who always thinks they're sick. They cough, and they look online, and now they have the bubonic plague or something. Or they see a red spot on their arm and they think they're dying from some kind of disease, and they look it up online and they think, well, I've got leprosy or something, and it's just dried ketchup from lunch. You know, I mean, they're always thinking the worst. And there are people, I've met them, even in churches, they're so suspicious. They're wondering, I just wonder what he's really like. I wonder what he's thinking of me. I wonder if he thinks the worst of me. You know why you think like that? Because you think the worst of you. Yeah. I don't know how many people I hear, well, I'm just not worthy. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Friend, my Bible tells me that not only have you been pardoned, you've been promoted. Not only has he pardoned you of your sin, he's promoted you, according to Romans chapter 5, to righteousness, justification. I love this word in Romans 5. He says it about 5 different times. I've imputed. That means I've put to your account. God has imputed righteousness to our account. What if we started to see ourselves as God sees us through the lens of God's love? I'll tell you how you'd see yourself. I'm a child of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I am blood bought. Hello? I am a child of the King. I am not defeated. I am not discouraged. I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me. For I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed. I'll tell you, if we would just get a glimpse of who we are in Christ, we'd have a spell before breakfast. But you see, Satan, he has clouded our vision. And we are still on the destructive path that destroys the love lens that we need to be looking through. The kingdom lens of God's love. Because, you see, gossip and hate and suspicions and people not being kind, all those things can destroy. And I'll tell you, it's like a little leaveth the whole lump. It can destroy many others. Look up here, folks. One sin in this church affects the whole body. Sure it does. One sin, you say, oh, it don't really matter. And you know, here's talking about destruction, how Satan will destroy you. And boy, why do we think this way? I think it's our fallen nature, but we have been forgiven of the past. We need to be living like we're going to heaven. But here's how we think oftentimes. Well, if I do sin, it's nobody else's business. It won't hurt nobody. And by the way, we've convinced ourselves of this. It's not that bad of a sin. And God will understand. Boy, we need to get the lens of the biblical view here, because my Bible says God does not understand sin. Sin is sin. You see, we don't think this way, but God does. Yeah. The Bible says that sin will bring destruction into your life. It's like a cancer. And if you don't deal with it, it will kill you. You see, a lot of times we Christians think, well, the sins of omission are not as bad as the sins of commission. Listen, my Bible teaches this. Sin is sin. And the Bible says, whether you like this or not, be sure your sins will find you out. You can't hide from the x-ray eyes of God. He sees and he knows. And I'll tell you one thing. I don't know what kind of vision God's got, but it's clear. I'm sure it's clearer than 2020. Because, you know, look up here, folks. He knows the intent of the heart. And that's why we're not too good at judging, because we don't know the heart. You don't know anybody's heart. You might think you do, but you don't know anyone's heart. The truth of the matter is, we've been called to do what, church? To love people, even while they are messing up. We're to love them, but love them enough to bring them along and help them get it right. Hello? Now, that, I know that's not popular preaching, and it just don't happen today in the church, because we're afraid we're going to hurt someone's feelings. But to come alongside someone and say, you know what, I'm going to love you enough to help you deal with this, because it's destructive to you, and you're going to destroy your family, and you're going to destroy our church. Now, there's not many shepherds that want to stand up. There's not many deacons that want to stand up. We all just want everybody to get along. But friend, you see, God so loved the world, He did something, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth of Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Aren't you glad that He first loved us? Aren't you glad that He gave us a clear view? And I'm going to close now with my third point, because the third point is the cross to love. And we've got a cross to love. I always thought love was shaped like a heart, when it's actually shaped like a cross. Amen. Think about it. We always see it in the Valentine with the heart. But let me tell you something. The Bible says man's heart above everything is deceitful and wicked. Did you know the Bible says that? Man's heart is wicked. But I'll tell you something. On that cross, that's where all the wickedness was taken care of. Jesus paid our sin debt in full. Why? Because number one, He loved the Father to do the Father's will. And yes, He loves you. And if we could get this kind of vision that God loves you, how? Unconditionally. Folks, you'll never do nothing to make Him love you more, and you'll never do nothing to make Him love you less. He died on that cross. And my Bible says, for God so loved the world, not the elite, not the rich, not the poor, not the smart, not the not so smart. Hey, God loves who? The world. Yes, He does. And I don't know why we think that we're something. You know, it goes back to our sin. Well, I'm something special. God will understand. No, He loves you enough not to let you get by with nothing. Hello? But He also loves you enough that He sent His Son to die on the cross, and He did something. He didn't just say, I love you. He proved it, didn't He? Oh, thank God for the cross. I get excited when I preach the cross. We have a cross to love. Don't you absolutely love what Jesus did on that cross for you? We are His disciples of His love, of His cross. The cross is God's grand central station, and every part of our life runs out from it. Someone recently pointed out to me, I didn't know this. We were at the front of the church, and he said, Pastor Ronnie, did you know there are three crosses? I said, no, I've never seen three crosses on the front of our church. They said, yeah, there's a cross on top of the steeple. I said, well, I knew that one was there. He said, there's a cross that's on the base of the steeple that holds the steeple up, and I've never noticed that, but there is. And then there's a cross that is built in the brickwork of our church that holds our church together. Did you hear what I said? The brickwork is shaped like a cross that holds our church together. And I'll tell you, it's the cross that holds us together. It's the reason we are here today. And if you've not come to that cross, we want to give you that opportunity, because that's what Jesus did. I'll tell you how He did it. The new covenant of love, He said. In verse 34, He says this. I'm going to go back to 34. A new commandment I give to you. He's talking about the New Testament is the new covenant of love. It is God's love letter to us from Matthew to Revelation. And it really goes all the way back to Genesis. It says, I love you, because there's a red line that runs from Genesis to the last verse of Revelation that says, I love you. And that red line is His blood. And that's how God showed us He loved us, by shedding His blood on that cross called Calvary. Every time we love one another, you know what we're really saying in essence? That we believe in the cross of Jesus Christ. Yeah, because that's how we come together. That's what holds us together. That's the glue. That's the blood. And it's the new covenant of love, the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. And that blood, are y'all getting this? That blood now lives in your veins. Amen. I've got my Father's eyes. Yeah. I tell Jeff Anthony all the time, I said, you're a brother from another mother. We got the same Father, Jeff. And you say, well, wait a minute. He's black and you white. How can that be? Because we are one in the bond of love. It don't matter. You see, we see the outside, but on the inside, we've been made right with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for that new covenant of love. Second of all, the new community of love. And I got to mention this real quick because that's part of our vision, transforming our communities one person at a time. And I'm going to tell you this real quick. You're never going to transform this community until you and I genuinely love as God loves us. Yeah, that's where I'm going next Sunday, just so you'll know. Are you married? Are you dating Jesus? And I'm going to deal with this thing. You men probably won't show up after I say this. He says this, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Yeah, that's where we're heading. Well, what did Jesus do? He died for us. And there's a new commitment of love. When Jesus was on the earth, how would someone know that a person was a disciple of Jesus? Well, that's easy. They followed Jesus wherever he went, from place to place. They listened to his teachings. Then they were one of his disciples. They were obedient. They followed his teachings. Now, how will the world, how will Anderson Creek know that we are one of his disciples? Well, he tells us right here, it's easy. They will know you're disciples because I'm forming you into a new community that will operate on the principles of love. There is to be a community of disciples identifiable to Anderson Creek, to the world, by their love. He's not leaving his disciples here. He's leaving them together. You see, he's saying, I'm in you now, and my love that I've loved you with is now going to flow through you. And by the way, look up here, folks. How are we going to reach this community if we don't love the lost? It always bothers me. I get puzzled about this when a Christian says I'm not a soul winner. Well, that's a contradiction in terms. Yeah, that's a contradiction. You all are soul winners. Oh, you are. People look at you. And this is how they know that you are a Christian, by your love. Your love for God, your love for one another. We give evidence. We help them to see who God is by our love for one another. He says, this is how they will know you are my disciples. He says, we're to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's important. This is a major commitment. What does it looked like on a practical level? If you love others like you love yourself, you'll give others the benefit of the doubt. You'll not be suspicious of others. You'll not distrust people. You'll trust them. You'll not be a fault finder. You'll see through the lens of love, the kingdom lens of love. Here's Jesus Christ, God, on the cross. He sees all of your sins, but he loves you enough to die on that cross. Do you hear what I'm saying? So here's what I need you to do right now. I need you to write some things down. There's some homework to be given here, and I think it's important that you start seeing it. Number one, I want you to write down, I am acceptable. I want you to make a commitment today, a commitment that says to God, and my favorite verse I believe is in the Bible, is Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, we are accepted in the beloved. Excuse me, I was the only one to laugh, but I enjoyed that. I am accepted. A lot of people don't feel accepted. They don't feel accepted by one another. They don't feel accepted even in their families. They call themselves the black sheep of the family or whatever. I want you to know in God's family, you are acceptable. God loves you. And that makes you acceptable. So I want you to write down, because we're going to go somewhere with this. I am acceptable, okay? I am valuable. Let me tell you something. Our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, paid too dear a price for your salvation not to see you as very valuable. In fact, what he did proved your value, right? You are valuable. You might think you're not worth nothing, but you're worth everything to God. For God so loved the world, He gave His everything. He gave His only begotten Son. So you are valuable. Write it down. I want you to keep this. I want you to put it on an index card. And I want you to do this for next Sunday. I am acceptable. I am valuable. The third thing I want you to write down is I'm lovable. I want you to know that God saw something about the human race. He says, I'm not going to let them go. I'm not going to. And by the way, some people say, well, how can a loving God let anyone go to hell? Well, a loving God's never let anyone go to hell. You go to hell because you rejected the loving God. You made that decision. His choice was to love you. And you'll look. You'll never see a person on the face of this earth who's not loved by God. You are lovable. So put it down. I am lovable. Next thing, this is the fourth thing. I am forgivable. I am forgivable. I tell you what the problem is. We don't forgive ourselves a lot, but God forgives us. And who do you think you are? If a holy, righteous, perfect God can forgive you of your sins, why can't you forgive yourself? We are forgivable. God will forgive us. I don't care what you've done. God will forgive sin. The problem is Satan, he gives us that those old dirty, filthy lens oftentimes. And we think, oh, I've sinned so much, Pastor Ronnie, I can't forgive myself. Well, then you're saying you're better than God. That's what you're saying. If a holy, righteous God can forgive you, why can't you forgive yourself? And then last of all, I am capable. And that's where we're going to go next Sunday, because I'm telling you something. God's done a work in you that He can do greater things than you ever thought. I am capable. I'm telling you, the Bible says that you're able to do over and above. And he said, call upon me and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not of. I'll tell you this. You're able, friend. God has given you that ability. I can do all things through Christ who does what? Who strengthens me. Last, and I'm done, is our new commitment of love, but also I want you to look at this one. That if you and I would just recognize the fact that you and I have a covenant, a community of love, and a commitment of love, those three things, it's all because of Christ. Think about what He's done for you. He has entered a new covenant. Here's my new covenant, that you love me with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbors, you love self. Look at here, folks. Did you know that take care of all of our problems? If we just love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, if we could get this kingdom lens right and see that, hey, God loves us, He wants us to love Him back, and that we would love our neighbors, we love ourselves. Wow, that would take care of a lot of problems, wouldn't it? Take care of war? It sure would. My gracious. Here's how God sees you. I'm acceptable. I'm valuable. I'm lovable. I'm forgivable. I'm capable. I hope you wrote those down. And you might need to do this. Look into that lens, realize it's all because of the cross. And that's the picture of love. Joyce Meyer said she did this because she was abused as a child, sexually abused. She was a messed up lady. And she said, I just took red lipstick and I wrote on my big mirror in my bathroom, from God, I love you. Maybe some of you ladies might need to take your lipstick, instead of putting it on your lips, put it on the mirror and say, God loves me. God loves you. He values you. You are more valuable to God than you would ever realize. So don't you ever take yourself for granted. It's a serious thing for someone to contemplate suicide, because you're saying, I know better than God. And you don't know better than God. And you wouldn't be here if it weren't God's plan. If you've ever thought about taking your life, you need to get that right today, because you know what? You have no right to take your life in your own hands. You're in God's hands. And God will say today you're to go home, not you. I want you to see that big old eyeball up there, and you may not be able to see it. I don't know if you can see it or not. I know you can see the eyeball, but can you see the little cross? That's it. Now you can paint it up any way you want to paint it, but I'm here to tell you, if you want to know the lens of God's love, look at the cross. I said, if you want to know the lens of God's love, look at the cross. I asked God, God, how much do you love me? And Jesus said, this much. And He stretched out His arms and He died. Let's bow our head. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. The key, I believe the key is for you to trade in your glasses today. You need to get rid of the glasses you're wearing. I'm talking about your spiritual glasses. And you need to exchange them for some kingdom lenses. We need a kingdom mentality. We need a kingdom heart. And God loves you today. Jesus died for you. You are valuable. Would you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior today? Right now, as heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you can pray silently this little prayer. Lord, I'm a sinner. He knows you are, so just admit it. I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me. You are forgivable, so ask him. I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and save my soul. And from this day on, I'm acceptable. I'm yours. I belong to you. I'm a child of God. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sin. Now help me to forgive myself in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you're serious about this, Jesus was so serious, he left the splendor of glory to go all, he came all the way from heaven to earth to die on that cross. Surely you can walk this aisle today and say, I want to surrender my life to Christ. That's what we're asking you to do right now. You say, well, Preacher Ronnie, it's hard walking down in front of people. Folks, look up here. I'd rather walk down here in front of people than to have to stand before God one day and hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you. Don't be embarrassed about people here. You need to be thinking about God right now. Let's get some kingdom eyeglasses on, okay? Because I'm here to tell you, God's lenses of love is the cross. So he's made it clear he loves you. Now, what are you going to do? He showed you he loved you on the cross. Now, what are you going to do? Will you surrender your life to him? Let's all stand together as we sing. Will you come?